The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome back to The Fighter Versus The Writer. I'm your host, as always, Damon Martin, and this week we are back with a brand new show, coming off a week without a UFC event, which is a rarity these days. We are actually rolling into another event with the UFC returning this weekend. Mackenzie Dern taking on Yan Xiao Nan in the main event. Of course, we had Mackenzie Dern on the podcast last week. We've also got a Bellator event coming up this weekend. One championships, got two events this week, and BKFC returns with the title fight and the debut of former UFC heavyweight Ben Rothwell. This week on the podcast, we're going to be welcoming in two guys who are going to be getting a lot of attention on the Bellator card coming up this weekend. Aaron Pico, long considered one of the best prospects to ever enter the sport of mixed martial arts. He is actually going to be making his return to action against Jeremy Kennedy in a fight that could very well determine a number one contender in the featherweight division. Of course, the featherweight title is also going up for grabs on the same card with Patricio Pitbull taking on Adam Borks. But interesting with Aaron Pico, of course, you know, for all the talk and hype and buzz around a guy like Bo Nickel, who is incredible and potentially a future UFC champion. A couple years ago, that was Aaron Pico. Aaron Pico was the guy. Aaron Pico was the prospect. Aaron Pico was the one everyone thought was going to be a future champion. And he had a tough start to his career, went 4-3 in his first seven fights. Probably got matched up against opponents that were a little bit too high level for him at that point in his career. Was doing well against Adam Borks before he got caught by a flying knee and got knocked out. Since that time, Aaron Pico has turned things around, and so he's fighting Jeremy Kennedy coming up this weekend with a chance to potentially earn a title fight. We're also going to be talking a little bit later to a fighter who unfortunately came to notoriety for all the wrong reasons, and that's Max Roshkoff. Of course, he is the former UFC fighter who took a fight on short notice, lost after he refused to come out for a round, and essentially got accused of quitting. Got released from the UFC a matter of days later. Got signed on short notice. Let's not forget that. Got signed on short notice. Took a fight with Austin Hubbard. Looked good early. Got exhausted. And the moniker that he built at that point was he quit. He walked away. He quit. He couldn't go. No mas. And, Dana White had comments about it. And days later, he got released from the UFC. No second chances. He's since, basically walked away. Was done fighting. Ended up going to Cage Warriors, getting a couple of wins, and now he's going to be joining the Bellator roster starting on Saturday with his debut, and we're going to talk to Max about his future, but also coming out of what he went through, kind of gaining that reputation and dealing with the mental health struggles he had after that fight, the mental health struggles coming, even decided to come back and do the sport again, which is saying something because, he was pretty much done. You'll hear in the interview, he was done. He wasn't pretty much done. He wasn't contemplating being done. He was done and decided to come back. And, now he's fighting against that stigma of mental health being a weakness somehow like that, dealing with the anxiety and the depression, things he dealt with, and now coming out on the other side of that and kind of restarting his fighting career. And I truly do believe, and I said this back when he signed with the UFC, whatever that was, you know, really good prospect. NC State wrestler, you know, real solid, you know, good jiu-jitsu, trained with Robert Drysdale. He's out at Extreme Couture now, working under the great Eric Nixick. Looked like a legit contender one day, and he had that just bad night at the office, you know, and got released right after. So I was fascinated and interested to speak to Max. I've actually never interviewed Max before this interview, so I was very interested to talk with him. It's a big weekend for Bellator, you know, big weekend for Bellator. This card, in my opinion, of the major cards happening this weekend, UFC, Bellator, ONE Championship, BKFC, I think top to bottom, the Bellator card is the best card of the weekend. Now, how that's going to translate into ratings and people getting interested, I can't say for sure, but when you got Patricio Pitbull and Adam Borks, which is a really good fight, you got AJ McKee making his lightweight debut against Spike Carlisle, UFC veteran, you got Aaron Pico against Jeremy Kennedy, you got Juan Archuleta returning on the card in a really interesting fight, you got Max Roshkov on the prelims. So it's a really intriguing card. So top to bottom, Bellator actually has the best card of the weekend. Nothing against any of the other shows out there. I'm just saying in terms of talent and star power and ability, I think we're looking at the best card out of Bellator. UFC, of course, has another top-heavy card with, I think, a really intriguing strawweight fight with Mackenzie Dern taking on Yan Xiao Nan. But that card outside of that fight is a little lackluster, let's be honest. And the UFC is going through a weird period right now where we actually get this card this weekend, then we get another off week, and then we roll back into the October, was it the 15th card? And then we roll, of course, right into UFC 280, which is a monster pay-per-view, of course, with Islam Makhachev and Charles Oliveira at the top, Aljamain Sterling and TJ Dillashaw in the co-main, Benil Dariush and Matuš Gamrot on the card. It's an embarrassment of riches. But Bilal Muhammad and Sean Brady, it's an embarrassment of riches on that card. But yeah, kind of a weird stretch. These UFC Fight Night cards have not been the strongest lately, and I don't think that opinion is going to change with this one, although I do really like the main event. I'm always excited to see Mackenzie Dern get out there and do the damn thing, and I think she is still a serious threat one day to become champion when you got that kind of incredible skills that she has in her ground game. But it will be interesting to see how that one plays out, because I feel like it's not a title eliminator, but it is kind of, in a way, a contender eliminator, because Yan Xiao Nan, you know, a couple losses in a row. I thought she won her last fight, if I'm being honest. She had the really bad night at the office against Carla Esparza, but, you know, Mackenzie, of course, you had that loss to Marina Rodriguez, and then, you know, came out and got the win over Tisha Torres. I feel like it's far from a make-or-break moment for Mackenzie. She's still far too young to say this is a make-or-break moment, but the winner of this fight is going to be positioned to get a big fight in the division, whether that comes against maybe the loser of Carla Esparza and Zhang Weili. Maybe it comes against Marina Rodriguez, depending on, you know, again, she's got her own fight coming up in a few weeks. But yeah, it's an interesting one because, you know, the strawweight division, as far as the women's divisions in the UFC, is the deepest division in the UFC. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, this is a bit of a contender eliminator. The winner will remain a top five ranked fighter, always, you know, hammering, knocking on the door of one more fight, maybe do a title shot. The loser gets knocked back a lot further. For Yan Xiao Nan, that's three in a row, even though the one loss, again, bit controversial. And of course, you know, she had the loss to Carla Esparza, who is now the champion, no shame in that. But three losses in a row is nowhere where you want to be in this division. I don't know that either one of these fighters will eventually become champion. I have a lot of faith in Mackenzie Dern. You heard that last week. I told her I truly believe she will become champion one day, and I mean that because I think talent wise she's just too good. But again, you got to get there, you got to do it, and you know she hasn't done that yet, so we got to see it. I mentioned Marina Rodriguez, the winner. Another one, Rose Namajunas, is out there. She hasn't fought. Imagine the scrambles and exchanges on the ground if we get to see Mackenzie Dern against Rose Namajunas. How fun would that be? And of course, BKFC this weekend also, you know, Lorenzo Hunt taking on Quentin Henry in a title fight, and then of course, Big Ben Rothwell making his debut against Bobo Obannon. Is this the sport that Ben Rothwell was always made for? We'll find out on Saturday. It's a weird weekend. It's a stacked weekend. A lot of fight cards. Angela Lee fighting to become a two-division champion, in a really, really interesting one championship fight. Not the most stacked events in the history of the sport, but solid fights all around. If you kind of combined everything into one, it'd be a really damn good fight card. Of course, you're not doing that, so you have to kind of pick and choose your poison where you're going. With that being said, I said it earlier and I stand by that. Bellator has the best card coming up this weekend. Main event all the way down to the prelims are really strong. Coming from Long Beach, should be an interesting card. So with that being said, we're going to kick things off this week and talk to one of the main card fighters, one of the most highly touted prospects to ever enter our sport. And he went through some rough patches. He went through some rough spots. And now he's on a big win streak, taking on Jeremy Kennedy this weekend in a potential number one contenders fight. A win could get him the winner of Patricio Pitbull and Adam Borks. So let's talk to Aaron Pico about his continued evolution, where he's at right now, and how far he feels he's away from becoming a Bellator champion. He is one of the top featherweight fighters in the world, and he returns to action in just a matter of days for a fight that was actually supposed to happen earlier this year. Now it's happening in October instead. I am always happy to speak to Aaron Pico. Aaron, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So, of course, this fight is coming up a matter of days away. As I said, this was one you were going to get earlier in the year. Unfortunately, you had an injury, 8 days out, change of opponents. Are you happy you got this one back?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really happy that I was able to fight. Was it back in April? I'm happy that Adley Edwards stepped up, and I'm excited to fight Jeremy Kennedy. It's a big step up in competition. He's been in there with some of the toughest guys, and I'm ready to go test my skills.
Yeah. You know, when you came in the sport, Aaron, you know, right away, you know, everyone's like champion, future champion. And you've quietly been building this streak now, quietly been getting better. And you've kind of, not only say you've stayed out of the headlines necessarily, but you've just been doing your work, I guess the best way to say. You've been putting in work, getting the wins and getting there. But this is a big one, right? Like, this is a big one. Jeremy Kennedy, I think, is 6 in the rankings. You're 4. Obviously, we have the title fight on the same card with Pitbull and Boric. Do you feel that? Do you feel this as being a big fight, or do you even look at it that way?
Yeah, to be honest, for me, every fight, I take it as a world championship fight. I've always said that. But I've just been in the gym grinding with my coaches. I'm in there 6 days a week. MMA is very difficult for me. It doesn't come easy, and it's not an easy sport. So I'm constantly thinking, how do I get better? What do I do? I tend to overthink. So I'm excited to go out there and show the world how good I've gotten. And I feel I'm knocking at the door for a title fight. So let's focus on Jeremy Kennedy, get through this fight, and I think I'm going to be in talks for a Bellator championship.
It's funny you say that MMA is really hard, because when you come in, and I'm guilty of this too, Aaron, you were an incredible wrestler. I'm a wrestling guy, so I'm always the wrestling guy. So I always have my eyes on the wrestlers, but you also had boxing. You seem like you were built for MMA, I guess is what I'm getting at. That's one of the reasons why so many people, myself included, were so high on you. It's funny to hear you say though, MMA is really hard, because I think there's that misconception that just because you have that training background and that background in wrestling and all those things, that it's just easy for you, but it's not easy.
No, that's further from the truth. I mean, when I first came in and got my career started, I knew that I had my work cut out for me. The organization wanted me to be champion, and hindsight's 2020. I was rushed a little bit, but no, it's very, very difficult. This sport is grueling on the body, mentally, and especially me being a perfectionist. I am so hard on myself, and it keeps me up at night sometimes, and early mornings. I'm studying, trying to be a better fighter. By no means do I think I've arrived yet. And I keep saying it's a very difficult sport, especially when you want to be great. And luckily for me, I have good coaches around me. I have good family. And I just take it one day at a time. I know it sounds so simple, but that's all you can really do. Because, the voices will start talking in your head. Am I doing enough? Am I good in this area? These are the thoughts that I have. And there's only one way to take the edge off, and that's just go in the gym and train.
Yeah. You mentioned it, hindsight's 2020. I'm curious, it's funny, you're a veteran now, but you're still so young. What, 25, right? So, you're still, very, very young. But if you could go back right now and go back to, the Aaron Pico we saw make his debut a couple years ago, what advice would you give yourself? What advice would you give? The knowledge you carry now, what advice would you give yourself as an 0-0 fighter?
Well, the advice I'd give to myself is that I would tell myself, hey, listen, I'm not ready to fight for a title. I'm, 5-6 years away, but let's take the fights slow. Let's build. let's get better. And, you know, because training camp, I fought quite a bit, and I was just kind of like, all right, got done with the training camp, take a few weeks off, and then right back into training camp. I didn't really have time to just develop and be with a coach and just say, listen, we're going to work on this. We're going to do this. This can happen. And it all changed for me when I came to Albuquerque and I started working with the coaches that I have now. I mean, I didn't fight for almost a year, and I was with Greg Jackson, Brandon Gibson every single day working on fighting. And I would just tell myself and go to Jackson Wink and do what I, you know, take a year off and just and develop. But I'm happy the way that everything worked out. I wouldn't be in the situation that I am now. I wouldn't have the manager. I wouldn't have the coaches. And I don't think I would be the fighter I am today. Like I said, I don't take it for granted. You hear me say it, the sport is very, very difficult. It can change in a matter of seconds. So I'm very focused. I take it very seriously. And I think I'm in a good position.
Yeah. Everyone develops and evolves at their own speed. There's no right or wrong way to it. Daniel Cormier was, I think, 31 when he made his debut, you know, coming out of the Olympics, and he went on to become, you know, arguably one of the greatest fighters in the history of the sport. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And again, I'm a wrestling guy. I think wrestling is the absolute best pedigree to have in your back pocket coming into fighting. But I'm sure you see a guy that came up same time as you, Bo Nickel. He's, I think, a year older than you. Incredible wrestler, Penn State champion, all these kind of things. And you know, I think he's, again, kind of like yourself, one of the best prospects we've had come into the sport. But he's talked about it. He's like, I think I'm ready for Israel Adesanya right now. And I'm like, slow down. Like, I'm not saying you're not good. You're absolutely good. But, you know, let's not put the cart before the horse. Not that you necessarily need to. I'm not asking you to, like, criticize Bo Nickel or anything. But, like, if you give that same advice to Bo Nickel, would it be like, you know, take time, you know, because this is a marathon, not a sprint.
For sure. I think that's the best advice, because it's just a different speed in there, especially with high level fighters. The speed of the timing is a lot different, and there's no need to rush. Will you be a champion? The chances of him being a champion are very high, but there's no need to rush. And when that time comes, it's going to come fast, and just make sure that you're ready, because the competition, I know it's nice and you feel good when you beat, you beat these guys and stuff, but at the highest level, the speed and the reaction time is on a different level. And you just need to adjust your eyes. You need to just get comfortable in the cage. You need to feel the crowd, the lights. And one thing I always say is even the stuff that goes on before the fight, the media, the where you stay in the hotel, just going through, you know, rehearsals as much time as you can get until you get the time, the call to go to the big show. I think you should absorb it as much as you possibly can and not rush it. That's just my opinion, but everybody's different. For example, you use Daniel Cormier, he was 31, but he was mentally probably a lot, you know, beyond his years. He was 31 years old. He wrestled in the Olympics. You know, he's gone through life, and I think he was probably, you know, ready and was mentally ready to take on those challenges. You know, when I came into the sport, I was 20 years old. My first fight was on Madison Square Garden against a guy that was 9-2, fought for, I think, an LFA title his fight before. So he was a guy that's been around the sport a long time. And mentally, I just wasn't ready. I always use the analogy. I was just that young horse that was just had a bunch of fire in him, but it hasn't been in the bull ring yet. You know, does he have all the bloodlines and everything to become a great horse? And you know, yes, but he just needs time to develop. He needs to be around a good coach. He needs to do, you know, be around everything. And then when the call comes and he has some years of experience, he'll be able to, you know, I use bullfighting as an analogy, like a bullfighting horse. He just needs time to develop. And then when he gets that call to go on the big plaza and fight the biggest and baddest bulls, he's going to be ready. But if you throw him out there when he's 3 years old and never seen a bull ever in his life, he's probably going to trip and fall or get gored or something like that. He just needs time to develop, and there's no rush. And I think that's where I'm at in my career. I've had time. I'm physically ready. I'm mentally ready. I'm going to be 26 on Friday. And I think the time is arriving when we're ready to get that call to fight for a world championship.
Yeah. So I said it earlier, you know, you come in, everyone's like, he's got this wrestling and boxing background. You had like the pedigree to be a champion. But do you feel like where you're at right now, Aaron, it's probably funny to answer this question, but Do you feel like you are a true mixed martial artist now? Like, it's no more, I was a wrestler and a boxer, I have that pedigree. Now, do you feel like a true mixed martial artist now?
I do. I really do. It's funny that you say that. I was just with Coach Greg. I'm with Coach Greg every day. But last week, I asked him a question. I said, you know, just using our terminology that we use. And he said, damn, Aaron, you're actually starting to understand combat. And I looked at him, I said, yeah, I never would have been talking this language 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And it feels really good. I really owe it to all my coaches. Greg Jackson, Brandon Gibson have really, really put a lot of time into me. And I asked a ton of questions. And I feel really good. I feel really, really good. And I'm excited to go out there and fight.
Do you believe in your heart of hearts, and I'm not going to try to pin you down in this question to say, like, of course your focus is Jeremy Kennedy. We know that. But, you know, assuming everything goes well, October 1st, you win. Are you, at this point, this stage right now where you're at, where I'm talking to you today, are you ready to be a champion? Are you ready for that challenge? Are you, if that's the next fight, that ends up being the next fight, are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm not ready to be a champion. I'm ready to be a great champion. That's what I've been saying. I'm at the point in my life to fight for that title. I don't want to be a good champion. I want to be a great champion. What I mean by that, I want to defend my belt, and I think I'm ready.
Yeah, I love that. You also mentioned, of course, the relationship you've built with the mad scientist himself, Greg Jackson, as I always like to call him, and of course, Coach Brandon Gibson, who I have so much respect for, and I know talking to so many fighters over the years that have built a relationship with Brandon, that he's like, he's a friend, he's a mentor, he's a coach, he's all these kind of things. How much credit do you give to that relationship that you've built with those guys in particular that have put you in the position where you're at now? Because you had the physical tools, Aaron, we all know that, but you still had to be molded and crafted and built into being a great champion. How much credit do you give Greg and Brandon? I don't want to take anything away from your teammates. You got a lot of great teammates down there. I was actually talking to John Dodson a couple weeks ago. He was mentioning you, all the guys down there you work with. But those two guys in particular as coaches, how much have they meant to your evolution and where you're at right now?
Yeah, they're everything. As simple as that. Everything that I know as far as MMA, I owe it to Greg and I owe it to Brandon. They are they always call me their little brother, and I call them my big brother. I mean, I love those guys. And, you know, when I talk to my coaches, it's when I get off the phone with Brandon Gibson, it's not bye coach. It's all right, coach. I'll talk to you later. I love you. And that's the type of relationship that we have. And I'm very thankful for them. I really am. And, I respect them so much. They are my family.
Yeah. I love that. I know I'm asking you to step on a landmine by asking you this question, but I'm going to ask it anyways, Aaron. Of course, the other big fight, you know, coming up on that card is Pitbull and Adam Boric. You know, Adam fought him, you know, again, early in your career. I'm not making excuses. You fought him, you know, years ago. You're a different fighter then. But can I ask you your opinion on that fight? Do you lean one way or the other when you see that matchup?
No, I don't really lean one way or the other. But if you're asking me who I probably want to win, I want Adam Boric to win. I really do. And if I could have it in a perfect world, I'd fight, God willing, win, beat Jeremy Kennedy, and then fight Adam Boric and revenge that loss and become a Bellator world champion. That's what I have in mind. That's if I could write out a perfect story, that's what I would want.
And that
I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for Adam Boric for sure.
That's kind of perfect, right? Like the best way to avenge a loss and become champion, right? Like that's like the story you couldn't write any better. Like a Hollywood writer couldn't come up with a better story.
Yeah. I've been waiting for that rematch for a very long time. I'm obviously staying focused on Jeremy Kennedy, but I want to get that rematch with Adam Boric. I think he got me early on in my career. If you look at the fight, I was dominating the whole thing until I got hit with the flying knee. Hey, shit happens, but I'm a whole different fighter now.
Yeah, and I like Patricio Pitbull. He's a monster. We all know he's very good, but I don't think people can count out Adam. I think he's a really good fighter, and I think people are crazy if they're counting him out.
Yeah, no, you can't count out Adam Boric. I mean, he's a really good fighter. All these guys in Bellator in the top 10 are good fighters. And, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins.
Yeah. Real quick before I get you out of here, I am fascinated by, I'm always, you know, you get stuck in these interviews always talking about fighting. Of course, that's what we're here to talk about. But I love you have become, you are a horseman. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, Aaron. I grew up in a city. I did not grow up in the country. I was not around farms or horses growing up. Now, you're going to laugh. My experience learning about horses has been watching Yellowstone, the show Yellowstone. I've become fascinated with the cowboy lifestyle, and like you show on your Instagram, you were showing like videos of you doing like horse competitions. Now, until I watched Yellowstone, I didn't know these things existed. I'm not gonna lie, like I didn't know these kind of like wrangling competitions, but it seems like you have an absolute blast doing that. Like, is that kind of become your other passion besides fighting? Well, of course, you're a dad. No, I don't want to take that away, but like, is that your other passion, like, you know, doing the horses?
Yeah, that is my passion. I've always wanted to be a cowboy ever since I've been a little kid. And I rode horses as a youngster. My dad took me to get, you know, have lessons and stuff. And I used to always tell him, he would never let me have a horse just simply because I was so involved in wrestling. And I used to always tell him, when I'm older and I make my own money, I'm going to be able to buy my horses and they're going to be at my house. And I have them now. I have two horses here. And on the weekends, I'm usually with, you know, my good friend Phil, and we go all over and do the, it's called cow sorting. We do these cow sorting competitions, and I'm just, I can't get enough of it. I'm addicted to it. I want to do this for the rest of my life after fighting.
Can I ask, what are your horses' names?
Yeah, my first horse I bought, his name is Canelo. And then my second horse is Coleone, like Don Coleone from The Godfather. So, I didn't name them, but I really like their names.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome. Yeah, it's so crazy, like, seeing that. Now, I got to ask, I did see on your Instagram, there are a couple of photos with you with a hat, but mostly you're a baseball cap kind of guy when you're on the horses. Yeah. Now, I don't know. Are you not a big cowboy hat guy? Is that the thing?
No, I love my cowboy hats. I really do. But the thing is when I'm doing the cow sorting, you know, I'm moving so much and I'm going kind of fast that sometimes my hat falls off. And it gets me out of focus. So when I go, I like to wear a ball cap, and I know that my hat won't fall off. So that's why. But I like my cowboy hats for sure.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. Like I said, I fully admit I don't know. I didn't know much about it. I don't know if you know Yellowstone or watched the show, but I'm fascinated. Like, now, like, I want to, because I've been to Montana before years ago. I went out there on a camping trip, but this is going back, you know, many years. I went to the South Dakota for the big Sturgis rally years ago. Yeah. But I want to go back out there because, like, I love the show. And like I said, I'm learning, like, these, and that's what I love about that show. Like, I had no idea some of this stuff existed, like the stopping competition, I don't know what they call it, like where you're stopping the horse
the and
like, raining. Yeah. Like, those are, like, I had no idea. And like, I'm learning, and it's just fascinating to me now. Like, I'm so like engrossed in learning about that culture that I just didn't know anything about.
Yeah, no, I like the raining too. If you want to watch a good show, it's called The Last Cowboy. And
I did. That's Taylor Sheridan, the same guy did that. I watched. I had no idea these. I knew little things. I knew there were like wrangling competitions, things like that, like the rope, you know, things like that. But I had no idea. Yeah. Like, you're talking about the cow thing. Like, I had no idea that was actually like a competition. It's cool.
Yeah, no, it's really fun. I like the horse community and the Western, you know, lifestyle. And I've met a lot of good people through the horses. And they're great animals. They require a lot of work, but they keep me focused. And ultimately, they make me feel really good. I always tell people, when I'm on top of a horse and I'm at my competitions and stuff, there's not one thought of fighting. There really isn't. I'm in the moment. I'm having a great time. I have a smile on my face. I'm connected with my horse, and it's the best feeling in the world. And when you have that horse bug and that itch, it'll never go away. So I thank God every single day that I have the horse passion, because it really does drive me to be a better person in fighting. And because I know if I win my fights, I can enjoy my horses a lot more too. So it balances me out for sure.
Yeah, so what are you saying? Like, when it's all said and done, you've had all this long title reign, you finally decide to retire, you know, whatever it is, 10, 15 years from now, whatever it is. Pico Ranch, is that what we're saying? Like, it's going to be the Pico Ranch?
Yeah, that is a big dream of mine. I really want to have, you know, a big ranch, maybe a few cows, but I want to breed horses. I there's a lot of people that tell me that, yeah, it's not a business where you're going to make a ton of money. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, but I want to be able to have some businesses and be able to have that on the side and just be passionate about it, be around horsemen and horse competitions and do what I want and live life.
Yeah, I love you say that also about getting your head away from fighting. I say that all the time. Like, I love to talk to guys about fighting, but, you know, I have interests outside of fighting too. And I think that's so important. Fighters, get your head away from fighting, because you get obsessed with it, right? Like, you can get consumed by fighting if you're constantly thinking about training or your opponent or, you know, whatever, weight cutting, whatever it is. You got to get your headspace in a you got to get in a different headspace. And that sounds for you is like when you're on the horse, fighting doesn't exist.
Exactly. It really does. It's hard on yourself mentally. And there's some days where I sometimes will sit in a room and it's not that I feel depressed. I'm so obsessed about fighting. Am I doing enough? Am I good in this area? And it can really drive me insane. At least for me, I'm talking just solely on me. And I know that I have my horses in the backyard. I can jump on them, but it'll eat you up. It really will eat you up. Especially if you care about it, and I care about being the best. So I have my horses, I have my life, I have my son, and everything is going well.
If I ever make it to New Mexico one day, would you teach me to ride a horse? I'm fascinated now. I feel like I need to ride a horse at some point.
No, absolutely. I tell everybody all the time, whenever you guys are in New Mexico, come to my house, we'll have a barbecue and ride horses. That's what the lifestyle is all about, being around good people. Eating good food, riding horses, listening to good music. That's the lifestyle I like, and you're more than welcome to come to my house for sure.
I love it. I love it. Aaron, thank you as always for the time. You know I appreciate it. Have a good race to your training camp. I know everything's kind of getting wrapped up now. Safe travels out to the fight, and cannot wait to see you back in action October 1st.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
A big thank you, of course, to Aaron Pico. Big fight for him coming up this weekend. Jeremy Kennedy, as a veteran, really good fighter, and a win there could get Pico the shot he's been waiting for. It was interesting to hear him talk about, you know, finally being ready to be champion. You know, this is something that he was anointed at before he even had a fight. I mean, people, and I'm guilty of it too. I looked at Aaron Pico's background in wrestling and boxing, and I thought, man, this kid is guaranteed to become a champion. Listen, there are no guarantees. Bo Nickel fights in the Contender Series on Tuesday night. I think he might be one of the best prospects to ever enter the sport. He's already saying he could be Israel Adesanya. That might be a bit premature, but the point is nothing is guaranteed. You can look at a guy or girl and their talent and the pedigree and the background and say they're going to be a champion, but there are no guarantees. Aaron Pico was supposed to be one of the most locked, guaranteed prospects of all time, and he went 4-3 in his first seven, lost his debut. And now he's back at a point where he really is, you know, becoming as good as advertised, becoming as good as we all thought he could be. He has to go through a tough opponent, Jeremy Kennedy, this weekend. But if he does, Bellator would have a big, big fight on their hands. Either Patricio Pitbull, you know, and or Aaron Borks in the rematch would be a huge fight with Aaron Pico. Of course, you got the AJ McKee factor out there. Is AJ going to stick around at lightweight? Is he going to go back to featherweight? You know, again, he's going to be a bit of a determining factor of what happens. But I look forward to that fight this weekend. As I mentioned earlier, another fight that's happening on the Bellator prelims this weekend is the debut of former UFC fighter Max Roshkoff. Of course, a lot of people remember Max, as I mentioned at the top of the show, as the guy who went in the UFC, had a great start and a terrible finish. Ended up, you know, basically quitting on the stool, stopping the fight, no mas, didn't want to continue going, and that kind of branded him, you know, for that moment on. He was branded as a quitter. Got released from the UFC days later, and now, after a couple of fights in Cage Warriors, he's making his Bellator debut. Really fascinating conversation with Max, because, as I said earlier, I'd never spoken to him before. I followed his story very closely. He had done an interview with my colleague Mike Heck right after he got released from the UFC. It was kind of a crazy couple of days for the guy, and you know, and to hear him tell it, of course, you know, he was done with the sport. He was walking away. He was no longer fighting. And for him to go from there to now back and fighting in Bellator is such a huge swing, you know, going through what he went through and dealing with the mental health issues, which, again, is a weird stigma that we're starting to address in our sport. I'm glad we are. We've heard for a long time things like mental coaches and, you know, going to a sports psychologist. That's nothing new necessarily, but there's still a weird stigma around it where, you know, some people like to take shots at fighters for seeking help in that realm, in that regard. And, you know, dealing with the mental health of you know, just the bombardment of what Max dealt with as a, you know, 5-0 fighter, whatever it was, 5-1 fighter after that loss. And suddenly, you know, his name is all across the headlines. One of the biggest stories in the sport for that little flash of time. You know, and then to get released from the UFC and basically think it's a fascinating story. And I had never talked to Max, which is why I wanted to talk to him with this interview and talk to him about coming back, his decision to come back, signing with Bellator, his expectations for the future, and dealing with the mental health issues that he faced with anxiety, depression, all those things, and now being able to fight again. So without further ado, let's talk to Bellator fighter Max Roshkoff. Newly signed to Bellator and about to make his debut, I am happy to speak today to Max Roshkoff. Max, how are you?
Doing good. Midweek day.
Yeah, appreciate you taking the time. Obviously, big fight coming up, Bellator debut. Excited? Nervous? Just ready to get back in there and do the damn thing? Where's the mind at right now?
I'm just grateful to be able to go in there and fight. You know, the closer it gets, the more I felt that, where I'm just grateful for the opportunity.
You know, obviously you had your last couple of fights in Cage Warriors. I still truly believe, you know, you're one of the best prospects coming up. I'm a wrestling guy, so I followed your career at NC State, all the things you come from, your background. But what was it like when you got that call from your manager, the Bellator, you know, wanted to sign you? I know it's always a big moment when you get that kind of offer, but what was kind of like, were you just grateful? Were you happy? What was your reaction?
I was pumped, and I was actually across the street from Gold Rush. I was at the gas station getting some chew, and I got the call, and I sprinted over there, and I told all the guys I coach with and my buddies and all the kids and stuff right away. So it was exciting. It was fun because it's been a long time, you know, being in the sport and not really accomplishing anything that I've wanted to. And I just know this is a step in that direction.
Yeah. Let's just, you know, address the elephant in the room. Of course, everyone, you know, knows the whole situation happened in the UFC. You left there. There was a time from the interviews I've read, you were almost ready to walk away from the sport. You were almost ready to be done with MMA altogether and just do something else with your life, coach, do whatever else. You were pretty much done. You come back, convincing performances in Cage Warriors. Where you're at right now, like, do you feel like this is, I know it's so generic, but like, do you feel like this is a little bit of like Max Roshkoff 2.0? Like, this is a fresh start for you.
Well, I was completely done. Like, I didn't train for like 8 months at all. I wouldn't even go to the gym, like, at all. I was working, I started coaching. I was doing a lot of different stuff, but yeah, I was completely done. And then, just decided with some help of some friends to, you know, get back on the horse. And That's what I did. But I would say 2.0, I'm not really sure. That's hard to say. I think no one's going to – it's hard to say that before I've really actually performed. I even think in my Cage Warrior fights, I didn't really perform the best that I can. So I guess we'll see next week.
Yeah. You've spoken openly about, you know, the anxiety, the different feelings and things you felt, you know, coming out of the UFC fight, just in general, doubting yourself, the self-doubt, things like that you faced in your career. And, you know, where there's this weird stigma in mixed martial arts and combat sports in general, because it's a tough sport. Obviously it's a tough sport. It's a physically, yeah. You know, we can't talk about mental health, right? Like we can't, it's a weakness. It's a weakness if you talk about that, which is utterly ridiculous. But you openly spoke about that and the self-doubt and how that has crept in your head throughout your entire athletic career, even when you were wrestling, things like that. How have you continued to battle that, you know, as you move forward in your career? Because listen, I'm not you, Max. I'm not an athlete. Now I'm a wrestler. I haven't done athletics in many, many years, but like even in my career in writing, like there's times when someone said, "Oh, you should do this." And I have doubt in myself. I'm like, can I really do that? Am I really the guy to do that? Am I really, you know, so yeah. It's real. It's a real thing you face in any career, but particularly when you're about to go in there and get punched in the face for 15 or 25 minutes.
Yeah, I just try to focus on just being grateful to be able to do it at all, regardless of the wins and the losses and stuff like that. I've never really done that in my entire career. It's always been about I have to win, and that mentality sometimes can be really hard because, like, not everyone gets their ass whooped at least once in every sport, whether it's wrestling, football, baseball. There's going to be times where you don't do very well. And so I think just focusing on being grateful for it, grateful for the opportunity to do it, because a lot of people don't get to chase whatever it is they want to chase. And so at the end of the day, regardless of what happens, if I can say, hey, I did the best that I could and I was grateful for it, then it's able to keep my mind at ease. But it's been hard, especially growing up. And basically being, when I was growing up, I was just told I was a piece of shit from the time I was born until I was damn near 18. So it's like hard, and it's hard to like get that. It'll never leave my head. Like there's no matter what anyone tells me I can do, or how good of a practice I do, or how good of a fight I have, I'm always going to be in the back of my mind thinking like I could do better this, I could do better that. It's just it's a little bit of a sickness.
No, you're absolutely right. I followed your career, and this is the first time we're having a chance to talk, but you're an Ohio guy. I'm actually in Columbus, Ohio myself, grew up in Southern Ohio. So we're both Ohio guys. So I know that like there's a certain mentality that comes along with that, right? Like I grew up in a somewhat similar situation, abusive household, you know, did not have a good relationship with my father, things like that. And it does, it affects you. And I think for people that don't go through that or never experienced that, it's harder for them to understand what that's like, because when you hear that or you feel that from, you know, as 5 years old, when you can start having memories to being 18, you're always told that you're not worth this or you're a bad kid or whatever the case may be. You never really get over that, right? Like you never really get past that. You have to kind of deal with it. You have to, it's like almost like an addiction. You're never not an addict, right? Like you never truly are not an addict. You can put down the alcohol or the drugs, but you're never truly not an addict. Kind of the same thing. You never truly get past that kind of trauma.
No, and that's, it's funny. I did like super bad when I was in school from the time I was little until I was in college, but I've always been kind of a nerd about a couple of things, and you know, psychology has been one of them. And I've actually done a lot of research about like childhood trauma and what that can do to like someone's brain, even if it's like something that happens one time when you're 4, can affect you when you're older into your adult life. So it's definitely real that, you know, there's not a lot you can do about it. You can learn to live with it. And that's what, when I've coached some kids or I've talked to some kids who have had like the similar issues or whatever, and that's exactly what I'm telling them. Like, hey, like a 17-year-old kid last year, actually, that ended up going off to college, but he had similar background and stuff. And I told him, he's like, tell me what he's thinking. I'm like, dude, honestly, there's nothing you can do about those thoughts or about how you're feeling. The only thing you can do is learn how to live with it and learn how to manage it to the point where you're a productive member of society. And that's like kind of what keeps me, I guess, grounded, is knowing that I always, it doesn't matter how good I do or how bad I do, I come from a certain type of background.
Yeah. You know, when you sign up to go into college wrestling and you sign up to become a mixed martial artist, none of that comes along with the responsibility of being a role model or being a good example to people or anything like that. Like, that's not what you sign up for. But I do think it's important in situations like this to be able to talk openly about it, because there's going to be some kid who's 16, 17 years old coming up right now who might listen to our interview and hear, oh, wow, I know who Max is. I'm going through something similar. I'm dealing with something in my home, or I'm dealing with this anxiety, or I'm dealing with this or that. I know you don't sign up for this, Max, but you've been open about speaking about this. Like, is there some almost like cathartic therapy in that, that you know that like talking about this kind of subject, that like ideally you may be helping somebody else going through something that is similar to what you've gone through?
I mean, I think that's why I talk about it. And that's why I coach wrestling. That's why everything that I do, it's not about, you know, at the end of the day, I want to make an impact on my family and the people close to me and the people that love me, and be able to help other people along the way. I try to be of service to others more so than myself, especially now. I think I've learned that, you know, if I can help in any way to, 14, 15, 16 year old kid just listening to me talk, or give any type of guidance to anyone that I can to the best of my ability, I'm going to do that, because I know what it's like to not have it. And it fucking sucks.
Absolutely, it does. So this is going to sound like a weird question. This is going to sound like me playing therapist now, Max, but I'm going to ask the question, because you've been an athlete your whole life, right? Like, you've been in wrestling, and I know the grind of that, the difficulty, the physical and mental difficulties going through wrestling and then coming in MMA, which again, physically and mentally taxing sport. When you took that time off and you were done, you walked away and you were completely done, then you decided to come back. Now that you're training, now that you're preparing, now that you're a week out from your Bellator debut, are you enjoying it? Are you having fun? Are you loving it? Like, is it something you've kind of fallen in love with? Is it something that's still just a job? Like, how do you view it right now?
I'm enjoying it right now. For my first two fights back in Cage Warriors, I fucking hated it. I don't know. It was just like, I was losing my mind every day at practice. I even watch my fights at the end afterwards. I'm not happy at all. I remember walking over after both my fights and talking to my coaches and saying something along the lines of, fuck this, I don't want to fucking be here. And I just dominated both fights. It's taken a little bit. I don't think that... And it's weird, because I was in a weird place before. I think I loved it so much that I was like a psycho about it before, where coaches were trying to tell me to stop doing my fourth practice of the day and shit like that, because it wasn't good for me. And now it's like I do what I need to do to feel prepared, and I get out. I don't live in the gym anymore. I definitely used to. But I'm having fun. But I think it's just because I'm staying grateful for the opportunity to do something that very few people in the world get to do.
Yeah. Would you say going into this, when you're in the best possible headspace you've been in your career?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm confident in saying that.
Yeah. That's amazing too, right? Like you said earlier, like you're not, because there's so many ways you can be obsessed with the sport, right? Like I just talked to Aaron Pico a couple of days ago, and we were talking, like, he said, like, there's some days I can't sleep because I get so obsessed thinking about a training or thinking about something didn't go right in training that day, and I can't sleep at night. And he's like, sometimes, like, he's a guy who's into horses. He's like, when I get on my horse, I just forget about the outside world. Like, I have to get away from fighting. Do you have those opportunities? Like, you talked about, like, not obsessing with training and not going in for that poor training, like, just, you know, doing your job and getting out of it. Like, have you been able to separate the two now, where you actually can separate fighting from your mentality, from whatever else is going on, and, like, take a break from it, I guess?
Not yet. I'm just not in a financial position to do that. I have $30 in my bank account at all times.
Yeah. So eventually, the long run.
Yeah, hopefully someday. But right now, no.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do here either.
But you mentioned you are happier now, though, going in this fight. You're grateful. You feel different. Like, this is a different feeling.
Yeah, and, you know, now that I've kind of pondered that, saying that a second, but, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to turn out to a good performance, you know? You know, I can be happier all I want right now, but that doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
Even that's nice right now.
Yeah, even when you say that, you know, when you came out of the Cage Warriors fights and you won dominantly, but you came away thinking, you know, I didn't have a great performance. You know, you didn't feel happy about that. When you go into this fight, like I could sit here and talk about the breakdown all day. What do you think about your opponent? What do you think about the matchup, game plan, all that kind of stuff? Like, is it just about going in there and performing and just being yourself in there and not necessarily thinking about, obsessing about, I got to win, I got to do this, I got to do that? Is that more the mentality going into this fight, or kind of give me this sense of like how you approach this particular fight?
I've approached every fight the same. I've never once game planned for anyone. And that's more, I probably would if my coaches told me to, but no one really tells me to do that, because I have a very specific skill set that works really, really well against most people. And so there's no really even game plan, but yeah, I just want to go out there and be myself, and absolute worst case scenario, I want to put on a good fight. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like even when we start our conversation, like I consider and say to you, Max, like, you know, just knowing your potential and knowing like your coaches, I talked to the guys at Extreme Couture. I talked to your manager. I've talked to, like, I can say this honestly and say, I still think you're one of the best prospects coming up. Do you hate hearing that, though? Do you hate hearing, like, when people still say, look at you and say, man, I still think there's so much potential in this guy? Or would you rather just kind of fly under the radar and just do your thing?
You know, my ego likes it, yeah, but I don't see where it comes from. I just don't. All of that talk comes from what people have heard me do in the gym. It's not because I won a jiu-jitsu tournament. It's not because I was ACC champion in wrestling and ranked a couple times. Like, I really, if you look at my wrestling career, I didn't do shit in my wrestling career. I didn't do jack shit. I won the ACC tournament once, which isn't that good. I have one win over a high-level black belt in jiu-jitsu. But I've kind of been like that my whole career, where I show flashes of being very, very, very good. But at the end of the day, I've never been able to put it together for a long stretch of time. And so I think all that just comes from, it's not from what I've done in the cage on the wrestling mat or in jiu-jitsu. It just comes from what I do in the gym, which that's good. Like, if I could walk away and I know what I've done in the gym, and as a martial artist, I know where I'm at, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter for everyone else if I don't do it in the cage in front of everyone else.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. A guy I know, I'm sure you know, at Extreme Couture, a guy I've been friends with for many, many years, Mike Pyle for years. And I covered his entire career. Every person I ever spoke to about Mike Pyle said, this is the absolute killer in the gym. You do not want to see him. He is the best you'll ever face. And he struggled to translate that in the cage, you know, and I've talked to him about that many, many times. He struggled to translate what he did in the gym to the cage. You talk to anybody in that era of fighting that ever went out to Extreme Couture or any other gym he was at, Mike Pyle's the guy you don't want to see. Mike Pyle's the guy you do not want to go with. He will beat you. He will submit you. He will make you feel like you're not ready. And then he just struggled to translate that in the cage. So that's the key, right? Like, as far as that, like, it's translating that into the performance.
Yeah, you know, I have a different hairstyle right now. I have a little bit of facial hair, but there was a time when I'm at Extreme Couture, there's people who would come in who hadn't been in the gym for a while, and they dead ass thought I was Mike Pyle. They start calling me Mike. Like, actually, like, that's a true story. And then Stefan Bonner came in one day, and he was on, I don't know, he was crazy, but he was like, he thought I was Mike Pyle. And I was like, no, my name's Max. Like, I'm not Mike. And then he's like, oh, well, that must be your dad. You guys got to run with that. He must be the mailman back in Ohio or something. he's your bastard dad or something. Like, it was so funny. But I've gotten that because my coach, one of my coaches, Nate Pettit, also coached Mike Pyle too. So I hear about him all the time.
And you know what? I love Mike, and I think Mike was always an incredible competitor. And like I said, you build that reputation, but at the same time, like I said, there is something to be said about just putting in the work, right? Like Mike has that, Mike may have not been a champion, in the UFC or anything like that, but like if you talk to anybody who knows Mike Pyle, they just have the utmost respect and admiration for him. Like I said, there's a reputation you build up like that, right?
Yeah, and that's where I think it's easier for me to be more grateful and, you know, happy about where I'm at in my career, regardless of where I go, is because at this point in my life, regardless of even if they like me or not, everyone who knows me at least has to respect me because they've seen me. They've seen how I act. They see how I train. They see how I treat other people. I just command respect, and I know what I've done as a martial artist. So it's easier for me to kind of just be happy with everything, no matter what the outcome is.
Yeah, well, that's awesome to hear. And like I said, honestly, Max, I'm excited to see you back in there. I know there's a lot of attention and a lot of excitement about you being back in there. I'm glad you're with Bellator. And, man, I know training camp is pretty much wrapped up at this point, but, you know, obviously I have a safe couple of days of the last training camp, safe travels out to the fight. And very much look forward to seeing you make your debut in about a week.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate the time, Max. A big thank you again to Max for coming on the show. Really enjoyed that interview. As I said, first time I've had a chance to chat with him, so it was really intriguing to get his thoughts on coming back, signing with Bellator, and everything he's faced to this point in his early career. Still such a young guy. And, he's gone through the ringer, probably in about the worst way possible. You know, that's the last way you want to have your name hit the headlines is, you know, you quit on the stool, and that forever brands you as a quitter, which is ridiculous. But be that as it may, he's coming back. He's fighting in Bellator, and as I said multiple times on the show already, Bellator's got the best card of the weekend, if I'm being honest. UFC's got a card, BKFC's got a card, ONE Championship has a couple of cards, including their second Prime Video card. I will give a big compliment to ONE Championship, their debut on Prime Video, the one with Demetrius Johnson beating Adriana Marias in the main event, was actually a really fun card, really well produced, and I will give credit where credit's due in terms of the streaming service. Amazon killed it with that. They did a really, really good job. I say it all the time, you know, when you have a bad streaming service, it can kill your product, even no matter how good it is. I praised Eagle FC for their couple of cards earlier this year, did a really good job. Streaming was great, clear picture, HD, all those kind of things that make a little difference when you're watching a fight card, works great. I wish ESPN Plus could do that. I can't, I've lost count the amount of times ESPN Plus has crashed while I'm watching a UFC card. Now, to be fair, there's a much larger sample there because I'm watching UFC events on ESPN Plus, you know, three times a month, sometimes four times a month, depending on the month itself. But ESPN Plus is giving far more trouble than a lot of the other streaming services. So, yeah, let's see if they can get their stuff together. But credit to where credit's due to ONE Championship and Amazon Prime Video for doing a good job with that card. And of course, Angela Lee fighting in the main event this weekend on Friday. And, of course, they also have another card on Thursday. So it's kind of like back-to-back events, if I'm not mistaken. So it should be interesting there. Of course, BKFC already talked about. That's a solid card. Quentin Henry against Lorenzo Hunt on the main event, and Ben Rothwell making his BKFC debut after leaving the UFC and signing with BKFC, so it should be interesting. And of course, Mackenzie Dern taking on Yan Xiaonan. We'll have you covered for all this, everything you need over on MMAfighting.com. So make sure you pay attention to the website all weekend. We'll have your coverage. If you can't watch everything, and it's going to be tough to watch everything, we got you covered over there from Thursday to Sunday when all the fights are happening, all the results, all the recaps. We got you. We got you. I want to say a big thank you, of course, to both of my guests this week, Max Roshkoff and Aaron Pico. They both fight on Saturday on Bellator. Max is on the prelims. Aaron Pico, of course, one of the featured bouts on the main card on Showtime. A big thank you to everyone that tunes in each and every week to the show. Make sure you always check us out on all of your favorite podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, as I always say, you can always check us out on the greatest website in the world, MMAfighting.com. We'll see you next week for another edition of The Fighter versus The Writer. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you then.
Listening to the Vox.
Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.